He flew it, and that was just as good. He trailed his hand along the old corridor walls as he bounced his way down to the operations center. Ridley and Taggart would be asleep, or still having sex. It seemed like they never stopped having sex. A week of floating next to a giant rock in the middle of empty space was conducive to breaking down inhibitions, and his two crewmates had succumbed to the flesh spectacularly. Either way, he wasn't about to wake them. This was his mission, his ship. This was freedom. Once across the threshold, he jumped up a few meters and sailed across the operations center, landing cleanly in the navigator's chair with the ease that came from months at low grav. He entered in the coordinates for their next stop, Sangre de Cristo, the fourth planet in the San Martin system. Just a colony, really. A million or so religious fanatics had tired of the oppressive hand of a distant UE and its tin-eared government on San Martin, and had set off on their own. Shovik Orion Industries had been only too happy to provide the domes and contract out the rest of the building effort, and the GPC was far enough in bed with Shovik Orion that he assumed plenty of wallets were embiggening with each shipment to the fledgling colony. His own included, so no complaints. The main drive activated with an ear-deafening roar, one irritating quirk of the ancient freighter, and the inertial cancellors struggled to keep up with the 3G burn. He could Q-jump in and save half a day, of course, but the client had specified no Q-jumping. Harder to track that way. Q-jump signatures could be seen half a system away, with the most basic sensor packages. Luckily, Sangre de Cristo wasn't that far from the asteroid belt. They'd be there in 4 hours, and with any luck, Ridley and Taggart would still be asleep, or having their morning coffee, or their morning screw. He dozed off after setting the nav computer to autopilot. The ship would swivel 180 halfway out to Sangre and automatically start the D-cell burn, and he'd need to be awake and alert for the actual delivery. Planetary re-entry on an old rickety freighter like the Magdalena Issachar was like trying to screw a discount mutated whore on Rigel 3 while half-drunk. It required a certain amount of concentration, but not so much concentration that you realized with horror what the hell you were doing. It had only seemed like his eyes were closed for a few minutes. The alarm was persistent, and it took him several shakes of his head to realize that that particular flavor of alarm was a proximity detector. Shit, something was close. Close enough to trigger a proximity alarm. He scrambled to activate the external video feed and brought up the view on his screen. They were nearly there. Sangre de Cristo glistened far below, its massive oceans reflecting the distant sun's weak blue light. Only internal mantle heating kept the water liquid. He could barely make out the massive kilometers-long cylindrical domes dotting the rusty-colored eastern island, each transparent city-wide window keeping the noxious carbon dioxide atmosphere at bay, while letting in enough light to sustain photosynthesis in the genetically modified plants that could survive on such minuscule solar irradiance. But what caught his eye was the ship less than a kilometer away coming in fast. It was smaller than the Magdalena Issachar, but even at this distance he could see it was armed to the teeth. He didn't recognize any hull markings at this distance. It was obviously human. Domasi or Sciora ships looked unmistakably alien. But their transponder was running silent, a flagrant violation of United Earth law, and Russian Confederation law. Hell, every human government required active transponders, even the GPC. Some in the UE might consider the Galactic People's Congress a terrorist organization. But at least we keep our transponders running.
Unidentified ship, this is the Magdalena Issachar out of Britannia on a delivery mission to Sangre. Morning, fellas. Please respond, over.
He tried to keep his voice level and conversational. He felt anything but. Other ships never flew right up to you, close enough to wave through the window, not unless you were intentionally docking with each other or, Danny feared, being forcefully boarded.
Unidentified ship, please respond.
Nothing. Whatever they were playing at, the other ship was getting uncomfortably close. He toyed with the idea of making a break for it. Would they fire on him? The closer they got, the tighter the knot in Danny's stomach pulled. He flipped on the navigational